Deets. Good morning, everyone. It's really good to have you all here together this morning. We've come to meet with the Lord and with one another, and surely we've met with the Lord, and there's some wonderful time afterwards to fellowship together. I just want to honor someone special in our midst this morning, and that's Dawn Hartig. She turned 80 years old yesterday. Dawn, you look 21. Father, we just pray your blessing upon Dawn. And Lord, just thank you for keeping her healthy and fit and enabling her to serve you and to be so much part of this body, so always so loving and kind. May you continue to bless her with wonderful divine health and your blessing. And may she continue to serve you and love others as you've called her to now. Protect her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dawn. She didn't want us to know. Is there anyone else's birthday here today that we may have missed? I don't want to be guilty. My wife will hold me accountable. As we've been worshiping, hasn't God's presence been wonderful? And I just want to tell you that God loves you. You need to know that. And when he speaks firmly to us and he disciplines us, it's for our good. When he challenges us on our hearts, and that's what he always challenges us, he challenges on our hearts. He's not there to bring you down. He's there to pull you up. And he knows how the world can lead us astray, but he always draws us back to himself. But while we were worshiping there, apart from all the other stuff that the Lord has been sharing, I'm going to ask you to contemplate that, also what God is saying to us. Always meditate on what he's saying and do what he's saying. I want to just say the Word of God is imperative in our lives. We don't have any other compass. We are led by the Spirit of God, but the compass that we have, the map that we have, is God's Word. And the responsibility that we have as believers and followers of Christ is to do the Word and obey the Word. And if you've not got your course set correctly, I'm asking you to let the Spirit of God draw you back to his Word. The Word of God is absolutely a guide to us. It's a light to our path, as David says in the Psalms. But I just sense to encourage you at this time. We know what's happening out in the world and the difficulty that's happening out there. That was the Lord, you know. You see, you've got to listen now because this is how important it is. God said, this is emphasis, hear this now. In Luke chapter 6, the Lord just wants to help us in what we're facing out there. You know, can I tell you, our natural instinct at this point in time is to log. You understand what that means? Is to draw close and to consolidate and to be circumspect and not to be free. And I'm telling you now, God's got another message in this time. This is not the time to become introspective. It's time to be outward. And what do we mean by outward? And I'm looking what's in your hand. And this scripture that Jesus actually gives to us, this is the Lord speaking to us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is not a time to retract. This is a time to give. Even in your nothingness, give. And be careful, can I just say, be careful of your confession. If you keep on saying, I don't have, you won't have. But then ask the Lord to put something in your hand to give. And I just really believe there's a grace upon us to give, not only to give to the Lord through tithes and offerings, but to give to others through your time and through your love, laying down your lives in sacrifice of prayer. You know, this time of fasting is a sacrifice and praying and laying down your life. It's that generosity that God wants. He wants a culture of generosity to rise up in us. And I want to encourage you with that. Look for opportunities. Ask the Lord, give me opportunities to give. And you know what? You will change your life incredibly. I had a great opportunity that I'm going to be sharing with you, but the Lord just arrested me while I was in the Great Lakes. And one of the reasons I really just sense why they're in poverty, it is a curse, number one, but poverty that's outworked, because they haven't learned the lesson of Scripture to give. And when we open up our hands and we start to give, God can provide. And we see, because we're not meant to eat our seed. God provides the seed for the sower and the bread to eat. There's two aspects of God's provision. There's his provision for seed to sow, and there's the provision for bread to eat. And we cannot eat our seed. And I want to ask you, in your time, in your love, in your finances, learn to be generous in giving. And I'm telling you now, there's something awaiting all of us as we release that into the heavenlies. The laws of the kingdom of God are different to the world. We don't live according to the patterns of the world. We need to live according to Scripture. Amen. I want to give a report back today on what God has led myself and a team into the Great Lakes. But firstly, before that, again, the Lord just laid on my heart here today is that in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to just read that to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Lord, can I find Ephesians today? 18 and 19. And this is just talking about the Gentiles and the futility of their thinking. And verse 18 says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, and they've lost all sensitivity. They have given themselves over to sensuality so they as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more. And the Lord recognized this in his disciples when he was doing the miraculous and doing things. He noticed that they didn't understand what God was doing because their hearts were hardened. And there's something here is that we've got to be aware in all our hearts, because we've got to guard our hearts. Have we hardened our hearts? And you know when your heart's in a place of tenderness, and you know when your heart's in a place of sensitivity, not in sensuality. Sensuality is with the senses, but the things of the Spirit, we are meant to be sensitive. And I'm asking you to examine your hearts. I just really sense God highlighting to us the condition of your heart. You know, when you look at your car and you take it for a service and they do a whole check on the oil and the waters and the brakes. So there's an examination of the condition of the vehicle, that it's in running order. What do we do as Christians? We examine our hearts. That's our responsibility. It's not God's responsibility. And if we in any way have got to a place where we've actually hardened our hearts, where we aspects of unforgiveness, where aspects of been with our words, where we're not careful with our words, we walk with that, with harshness. You know, us men have a problem because we tendency to have an easier task to be harsh, and we've all got to correct that. We've got to be tender, we've got to be gentle, we've got to be kind, we've got to see the fruits of the Spirit. So will you look at your heart? And I can't tell you what's your heart, because God doesn't give me supernatural sight to see this condition of your heart. He knows your heart, but you also know your heart. And this is not a condemnation. Sort your heart out, and that's in submission to God, and allow yourself to become tender again. And the easiest way to become tender is to begin loving again. Loving with the love of God, and go forward with that. Amen. So I want to give a report back. I have had a great opportunity to go with a team into the Great Lakes again for 10 days. And I just want to explain the modus operandi behind this whole thing. It's led by the Spirit of God. We see in the early church, we see in Acts chapter 13, where Barnabas and Paul were set aside for the work that they were called to do. And they went out on ministry trips, ministry tours through the regions to plant churches and to establish churches and to encourage churches. And they went around, and we've got the whole New Testament, the book of Acts, to clarify what God was actually doing in their ministry. And what has happened, now we live in this part of this time, in 2000, God hasn't stopped doing that. And it's a multiplicity. It's not just Paul and Barnabas and a few that were going to Apollos. There are others that God has raised up. And I have a great opportunity because we stand together with a translocal team, which is called New Covenant Ministries International. And we have aspects that we are going into different parts of the world. So it's not just going into the Great Lakes, Rwanda, Burundi, and the Eastern Congo, and the DRC, but right out through the world that men and women are going to do that. And this is one aspect that God has given us as a privilege of a church. And I want to just say this outworking is not mine. It's been sent by the Spirit of God, and we are in this together. And my heart is always, please, you're always welcome, and it's open to every one of you to come and join when we go on these trips. There's an opportunity in October of this year for 10 days to go to the nations and actually be a part of ministering to the local churches and regions in that region. And I want to ask you to prayerfully consider that and ask the Lord and ask Him the question, do you want me to go? Don't consider the financial issue first. If that's going to be your motivation, you've got it wrong. You've got to say, Lord, do you want me to go? And if He wants you to go, God will provide that. Because I believe we all got an apostolic mission. It's not the main mission. The main apostolic mission is to reach our community. And if you know the Pareto principle in business, they tell you the 80-20 principle. The majority of our work is to reach our community. That's why we invite one, bring one. But there's an aspect where the Lord said in the Great Commission that we need to go and make disciples. In Acts 1:8, we need to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outer ends of the earth. This is not just for the few. This is for every single one of us. The businessmen amongst us, the people who have opportunity to travel, to go and see families in different nations, this is our calling upon us. So what I'm doing here today, we read in the book of Acts, is that Paul, after his ministry trip, he came back and he reported back to the church in Antioch. And this is not to keep you entertained, but this is to keep me accountable before you, that you can see what the Holy Spirit is actually doing in this work. So we have a team working into the Great Lakes. We're working with three churches from South Africa that are working: the Crossing Church, which is in Midrand, Cosmos City Church, that is also in the north, and our church. Been working together. We've been working into that region for nearly 14 years now, and it's been an incredible blessing. My testimony is, when we planted the church, I've always had a heart that, Lord, we need to be going and taking the gospel. Even as we've gone into Mapai and we've gone into different areas, I really had a sense, Lord, where do you want me to go? So we were working firstly into Zimbabwe, and the Holy Spirit clearly arrested that, and we went to an Africa planning time, and the Lord clearly put in my heart on the map of Africa to go to Rwanda. And it was a place where no one wants to go. It was a place of genocide 26 years ago. Over 1 million people were murdered in that context. It was a no-no place. But we went. And, you know, God has been incredible. As we have gone there, we have seen the prosperity of that nation, of Rwanda. We've seen that region just go through things, Burundi and the Eastern DRC. There are issues still going on there. But we've gone under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And even this time, I want to give back a report. What is God actually doing? So where did we go? We went to, we flew out of here on the Friday, the 4th, I can't remember the date, but we flew into Kigali. We spent the weekend in Kigali with the churches there. Then we went away to a little place further north on Lake Kivu. You can just see up there, Rwanda, it's not so clear, but a place called Gisenyi. And Gisenyi is on Lake Kivu. We went there for the first time. First time I went, the others had been there before. And we gathered together with 30 regional leaders from Rwanda, Burundi, and the Eastern DRC, and to encourage the pastors in their walk with the Lord. And we had three nights with them, two full days of preaching and teaching. A lot of the time, it's the chit-chat that you actually build these relationships. You know, you sit around the table, we eat meals together, we do some fun things together also, but it's in the chit-chat and the encouragement that we receive and as much as we can receive them. And God really worked in their hearts, and as what we've been doing in the local church here too is that we've been waiting on the Lord here, we waited on the Lord there. And you know, these are pastors in an African context, and you would think that their lives are different. They are busy. They are very busy. And for them, when I said to them, you know what, we're going to take an hour and we're going to wait upon God and we're going to hear what he's got to say, they've actually, most of them have never done that in their lives before. And these are men that are pastors and are leading churches. They pray and fast, but they never take it quietly before the Lord. And then we did that, and the testimonies that came out of 1 hour, we had 3 hours of testimony, how God actually spoke. And the things that I could never have said to them into their context, to what God was leading them to do, God spoke into their hearts. And it was an incredible time. We broke it out, and we broke bread together. And as much as the Lord is calling us to you, there was a surrender. I want you to remember that word, surrender. A humility before God, not trying to do your own will, but Father, what are you wanting to do? And again, they came into that place of humility. They raised their hands to the Lord, and they submitted again their lives and the churches that God's given them to lead. And they did that, and just something wonderful. You know what the fruit of that was? Unity. And you know, unity is a prize gift. Most families are not united. Why? Because they don't fight for it and contend for it and try and find that place under Christ to do that. So from there, we also had a time. We've got a team that we lead there. I met with that team. We brought two new people onto the team, Tony Fache and Hilton Rose, and you'll see the photos a bit later. And then we traveled from there down to Bukavu, which is a good 6 hours drive, and we went into Bukavu, which is on the Eastern DRC. Second time I've been into there. There's an incredible thing in the spirit that you move across a border and the spiritual atmosphere changes immediately. It's open heaven over Rwanda, but as soon as you get into the DRC, there's a spiritual border that's there. And why is that? The DRC, there's an incredible amount of witchcraft. An incredible amount of witchcraft, and there's an oppression over that. And you can see the outworking in poor governance, in corruption. And you can't just say it's Africa, it's not that. It's witchcraft. And I think I've shared the story with you, but forgive me if I'm saying it again, but I think it's relevant. Kenneth Mashowe, who's the leader of the ACDP in South Africa, used to work for Reinhard Bonnke. And he was doing an outreach with Reinhard in Kinshasa. And he came with a legitimate request in his heart, and he said to the Lord, he said, am I as a black man cursed? And it was legitimate, and that's a hard question to ask because sometimes people think on the color of their skin that they are cursed. And the Lord came back to him and said to him, you are not cursed. You're not cursed. But he said, Lord, then why do we experience all these things working against us? And the Lord said to him, he says, your nations have handed themselves over to witchcraft, to the devil. That's why you've seen the curse. And those things got to be broken, and that's what we see even in our nation. We've got to be praying against that. We've got people in government that are worshiping, doing ancestral worship, going to the Sangomas, and we see that darkness still prevalent, ancestral worship, even in this nation. And there's something of that of even our nation, because our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness. So these are the things that we face in that. And when we go in there, we go as a light. And God does things in the heavens that we don't even see and comprehend. But there's a force of the angelic host that goes in there and pushes back the darkness, and there's a freedom. And then the church, when it operates under that heavy burden of witchcraft, gets discouraged. So we have this incredible opportunity in going there to encourage the church and bring it to a place of freedom. So that was, and then we spent 3 days in Bukavu, ministered to the city leaders, went to the orphans and widows, and we spent some time with the families there and then in the churches, and then came back to South Africa. So I'm going to just go through some of the photos. This is here to just enlighten you. So we left from Johannesburg late afternoon. That was Saturday morning, the moon setting over Kigali. Yeah, on the Sunday morning, we met with the local church, Glory of Christ, and the youth is powerful when it comes to worship. And things have changed over the years where it used to be just worship teams coming in. They've embraced the heart of worship. And I want to just say to the worship team today, well done. You took us into the presence of Almighty God. And these young folk, too, are really just doing a wonderful job of leading people into God's presence. A lot of them, they just love rhythm. I don't know, us whiteys don't have the rhythm, eh? But my goodness, they can find rhythm. Even the two little old, the rhythm's there. Incredible. The testimony of this place, too, that the devil also came to rob them of this place, and there was a guy, this house next door here, he came and proclaimed that was all his. And after genocide, they came back and he proclaimed it was his. And they had to go to court and had to trust God. And yet they lost the property and had to pay rent for it. But eventually the Holy Spirit gave them wisdom, and someone said to them, go and look for the boundary stones. So they went and looked. They couldn't find them. They dug up and they dug up. And eventually on the pavement and in the back there, they found the boundary stones. And they went back to court and said, no, we found the boundary stones. This guy is claiming what is not his. And they won the case and they got the church back. So there's some battles ahead of all of us. The devil comes to steal and destroy. That's Janet and her daughter. Janet is a deacon in the life of the church. My goodness, could she serve, eh? There's nothing too much for her. She just loves people, and she's a busybody, busy bee, and incredible. They'll be with them, sitting with the family. They've become friends, and they're brothers and sisters. The guy in the middle is Stephen. We met him on the first time. He's been to South Africa before. He's one of our translators, but just has a passion for Jesus and going for, he's one of the elders in the church there. That was a lady that just came afterwards and just wanted to thank us. You know, you forget what you pray for people, and how God, we had prayed for her through a difficult time, and God had answered those prayers and just came to give thanks. And there's Tony Fache with us. We were ministering into Kigali at that time. And downtown Kigali, I just want to tell you, is one of the cleanest cities in the world I've ever been to. And it's, you cannot believe how beautiful it is and how they're doing the medians and the walkways. It's an incredible, good leadership produces godly fruit, I promise you. And we need to pray for our leaders in our nation that they make the right decisions. Here we're on the bus. We travel on the local bus, and they've moved from the little taxis. They've got proper buses now for the people for safety. This is just the improvement on the thing. And it was wonderful to travel with the locals. That's Tony and Hilton. There's the bus stop. It's a hustle and bustle, and many, many people traveling. They don't have their own cars, a lot of them, but they travel by bus, and it's reasonable. A beautiful nation. In French, it's called Des Mille Collines. Many, many thousands of hills. And you go back into the rural, and it's hills all over the place, and they've farmed everywhere, everywhere. And it's such a fertile area. You put stuff in the ground, it grows. And incredible. That was just the route that we were traveling on. This is some of the vegetation, the people in the homes. Homes everywhere. Not all electrified and got water. They got to get water in that, but they got homes, and they got places where God's prosperous in some of the beauty of the place. Oh, this is funny. This is to educate people how to use a loo. Now, they've never had a loo. They've had a long drop. And they squat. Now you've got to find out how to use the thing. So never grown up with that, eh? That's the bus that we're traveling through. One of the bus stops on the way to Gisenyi. One of the rivers flowing through there. Lots of water. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. You get car sick. Very windy, windy roads that we're going through. A lot of places coming up, and you see how clean it is. That's on the way to Gisenyi. This region's also a volcanic region. There's an active volcano. You'll see a photo a bit later, but you can see where the lava's gone, and they can't actually grow anything there because the lava rock. They start building with the lava rock. They actually cut it out into stones and pave the streets with the lava stone. Local girl next to the road cleaning. There's the tea plantations. Oh, some of the best tea in the world is from Rwanda. I don't know if you know that. There's the tea plantations. I think initially planted by the Belgians. Now, this is Gisenyi, looking over Lake Kivu. We stayed in a Catholic hotel. Beautiful, wonderful. It was very pleasant, overlooking Lake Kivu. And here, I want to go through some of the people that we pastors that came. This is Patron. Patron was from Bukavu. He leads a church working with Mapia, a younger man, but just on fire for God. Atanas, he's been working with us for many years. Atanas cannot speak much English, but when he speaks to you in his gruff old man, he says, Jesus is king. That's what he knows in English. Jesus is king. I love you. But he gave a bit of his testimony this time, which I've never heard before. He grew up in Uganda because they had to run away from one of the genocides that had been there before. And he came to Christ through T.L. Osborne. I don't even know T.L. Osborne. He was an evangelist in East Africa at that time. In 1964, He gave his heart to the Lord. And you could, amazing what God, his whole family serves the Lord, raises up churches in the eastern region of Nagatari, of Rwanda. Incredible. And Valerie is one of the pastors that joined us from Kigali. They all got a testimony. Baluli is from a place called Uvira. Dieter, you've been there. This man is in his early 70s, and he's so strong. Even though he's had diabetes and all that, he's just fighting for the Lord and hungry for the Lord. Just such a testimony. All his sons are living all over the world, but he stays in that broken place of Uvira because he's got, God's told him to be there. That's Stanley, our great friend and apostle of note. Stanley, you ask him, you know, he's gone through lots of ups and downs, but he's just got such a testimony of the Lord. And I said to Stanley the other day, Stanley, how many churches have you planted? Ho, 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 ho. About 50, you know. And you know, a church plant is a church plant. You need a pastor, you need deacons, there needs to be a building, there needs to be an outworking of structure and organization. Incredible capacity. If I say capacity, it's an incredible grace upon him, and he's a wonderful man. And when they come in, hopefully we're coming in end of September, October here, and you must get to meet these people and just hear their testimonies. And there's Pauline. Pauline is from Goma, which is across the border from Gaseni. It's a 24 open border, and I've never been there, and hopefully one day we're going to get there soon to go and minister in his local church. It's an open border. There's no fences there. You can walk across. The locals can walk across. But when we went to the local church to go visit, the Rwandese army was there. You don't walk across that border. So the Rwandese army, if you don't understand the Afrikaans word, they parate. They are strong. They slender, tall, and you don't mess with the Rwandese army. That's Maurice, a businessman from Bujumbura. Can't speak a word of English, but loves the Lord and leads a church called Philadelphia. And Eliah is a pastor that also in Gaseni. These men are called. They don't have lots of money. They're very poor, but they love the Lord, and they want to serve God to the best of their ability. Alithi is Atanas's son, and he's grown up a bit in Uganda, so he speaks a lot of English, so he helps us with the translation, but a wonderful heart and a love for God. And Godfrey is a businessman, also from Uvira, and he's the one that's supported the church through his business, because the local income is very low, and through his business ventures, he's become a preacher plus a businessman, and has an incredible testimony for God. He's put kids through university. I don't know how they afford all these things. You know, university is expensive, but they afford to put their kids through university and do those things. Aruna is from Kinshasa, but now living in Kigali. What the churches had to do, because there were restrictions put on the churches that they cannot just be meeting in buildings that are not soundproofed and no parking and all those things. So they lost their church, and the church in Kigali said, come and join us. So he's joined their team, and their church has come to join them in Kigali. And Leonard was a soldier in Burundi and gave that up to become a soldier for the Lord. This man has a passion and a desire for God, and he's a go-getter and loves the Lord, and he's working in an area called Gitega, a wonderful man of God. Emmanuel, also, he's a civil engineer, and he's gone through a torrid time in the structure that he was before, a church structure. They kicked him out, but we've come alongside him, and hopefully in this next year he's going to be planting a church in Bujumbura. And then Diogene was a new guy coming in. He's from a denominational line of churches, and he was a great encouragement to us too. And then Gad, he's our leader in Kigali. Gad is a wonderful administrator and a wonderful heart. And unfortunately, the Rwandese can't get here because there's a visa restriction from the South Africans to get them to South Africa. And then Emmanuel also is a new guy who runs a church in Kigali, and he's also got a wonderful heart. And then Metusela. Metusela is a character of note. None of us could dress like him. You know, we're in the middle of nowhere, and the suit pops out. And the pin tie comes out, and I'm telling you cannot beat him. And even when we go out for a casual walk, and it's like the Adidas and you know everything, he just loves to dress well. And but what a wonderful heart. He loves the Lord, and he's got such a passion for the Lord. He plays soccer. and the president of Burundi is a soccer player, and the soccer club is called Hallelujah FC. And Metusela plays for with the president. He plays soccer with him. And you, how old would you say he is? He's 54. Magala is a pastor who leads a church in Bukavu, and he's a wonderful man. And Rosia, he leads a church in Kigali, but just an upright man, righteous, gentle, and kind, a great encourager. And then Pilate, they call him, also a pastor in Bukavu. And then Tony Fouché, he is at the Crossing Church. He's joined the team into the Great Lakes. And then Hilton Rose is an elder at the Crossing Church and also on Tyron's team, and he's also come onto that team now. So we had some R&R, we had some coffee together down at Gaseni with Mapia. That's the view from that overlooking towards Goma. That's Goma in the distance. That's a panoramic view looking over Lake Gaseni, beautiful part of the world. We went, after all our teaching, we went late afternoon down to the beach. Just to took them, we bought them a cool drink to go and share. They don't know what it is to have a holiday. They don't know what it is to rest. You know, they're working all the time, and you know, we sometimes can teach them, they can teach us things, but we can teach them. They, like this time that we went away, they say that's the only holiday they have where they stop, switch their phones off, and actually don't get up to church business. There's Atanas and his son Alethi. Metusela, as I said, he's on the beach, dressed up to the nines. Those are the little boats that you go out and on joyrides out there. There's the guys from Bukavu, the other guys from Bukavu. Now, this is driving through Gaseni, a very clean area. That's the church that Glory of Christ planted in Gaseni. The Lord led them. There was nothing around them. They planted this church, built this church, and now the whole place is populated and the church is growing. They take every piece of land, and this lady was sowing beans. That was the church inside. Look how blessed we are. Those are the pastors of the church there. And this is the children. Whenever Mzungu, we call Mzungus white men and women, and as soon as we arrive, we attract a crowd of children, and the children came to play with us. Just a different lifestyle there. That's the volcano, the active volcano in that area. You can see the smoke billowing. It was quite far away. They say at night you can still see the glow. 2001, it spewed and actually covered the whole of Goma with lava. So they live under that challenge. The children... one of the flowers at the, that was the hotel we stayed at, a real blessing. And now this is traveling back through Rwanda to Bukavu, quite high, all these tea plantations. And then the devil came and we had car trouble. The oil light came on. But then Stanley says, I resist in Jesus' name. And then we learned to trick or true, and eventually the red light went. But he's got to go and do some work about it when he gets back home. There might be something underlined. Bicycles carry everything. Those bananas are heavy. And yeah, they're carrying the two of them. And I remember we were walking one of the hills and we pushed with the guy. These guys are strong, really strong. They're walking around, and there's the water containers that they're going to collect water. There's the tea plantations. We stopped in a place called Kanembe. And we went to this little restaurant for $2. We had a plate full of food. And you know, as a white man, you don't want to eat their food sometimes because you don't know where it comes from. But let me tell you, it was delicious. It was absolutely delicious. That was downtown, all the mopeds. That was the restaurant's name, Vitaminos. And yeah, we've gone across the border. We had a very good border crossing. And normally border crossings for us can be difficult. But God was gracious, and we got through very easy. Now, that's looking from where we were staying over Bukavu. Bukavu, in its day, was a beautiful, beautiful city. It was the Geneva of Africa. A high lake, a high altitude lake with these peninsulas, and beautiful. But just over time, things have degraded, but still yet beautiful. Yeah, we go to Mapia's church. Because Bukavu has a million people in it, and it's on that very hill place. You have small places. We don't have places like this. The church was building was small. The rentals are high. you cannot believe they pay everything in dollar, and things are expensive in Bukavu. They don't earn a lot of money, but they got to pay in dollars. This was meeting with the leaders that gathered on the Saturday morning. First time met a lot of them. It was very encouraging. There's Mafia preaching up a storm. There the guys responding to a message. And now we travel after our morning meeting. We travel now. Mafia said to me, do you want to go and see the orphans and the widows? So I've heard the testimony about them, but I said, okay, let's go do it. And Mafia has an incredible passion. The war is very real there. It's still there. The rebels are in the fields, and they are attacking people, and people are still dying in that. So these are some of the victims of that. So this is downtown Bukavu, and here we get to meet in the structure, and they look after 65 widows. 65 widows, and I think 14 orphans. And you can look at some of these women. They could be our mothers and our grands, and life has thrown them a curveball. And the church has risen up and got them, a lot of them, in their homes. But here they were rejoicing in the Lord. A lot of them have been sexually abused by the soldiers and the situation there, and carry trauma in their hearts like you cannot believe. We have nothing. The stuff, the atrocities that have taken place in that place, I don't even want to describe to you. It will actually burden you if you hear that. But God is gracious, and His love is there. And Mafia has got such a heart for these people, and they were rejoicing there, you know, just to see us. Who are we? We just came to say hello to them. And hopefully this is going to play now, as they were singing to us. Okay, that was just a short snippet. There's the view of, they've sewn all these dresses together and tops for the orphans, and they were presenting them to us, so we prayed with them. That girl there is an orphan in the purple, and through the proceedings as we were praying for them, she ran away. And the Lord just placed in my heart, there's something going on there. So afterwards we found her, and I said, can we pray for you? And she said, no. Even though she'd been exposed to all the Christian love and that thing, she's been so hurt. And the only thing that really challenged her, the Lord put in my heart, is just tell her that I love her. And we encouraged her with the love of God. And I know in time, God will melt her heart and get her to submit to Him, because so people are so traumatized and so hurt through the circumstances of life that they are not only hardened, they got a brick wall that no one can come near them. And that's our role as the church, is to go and minister to people like this and get them back. This is not for Jenny Pretorius only to do, it's for all of us to do this, to get these people into a place of freedom. Here's Hilton with the orphans. He's just a character when it comes to children. This is their little home that they've got. They have all the boys staying together. You know, their homes are small, and they have so many children. Like Mapia has 10 children, 4 adopted children, and they all live in the same house together. So I said, Mapia, how do you sleep in your house? He says, it's quite easy. You have one bed, and you have 4 kids on the bed, 2 up there and 2 up there, and they're feeding like it. You would never sleep like that. And they don't complain, because they're part of the family. These are the administrators of the orphanage, Pastor Jeremiah. There was so much mud there, you cannot be. It was a storm there. I have never had so much mud on these shoes. It was like I had clodhoppers on top of the thing. It was so much mud. And it's like a clay there. It just sticks onto to your feet. These orphans were looked after better than the local kids that were around there, and we were just driving past that. The local kids are actually sometimes in a worse place than sometimes the orphans. Great need in that. That's downtown Bukavu. This is Mapia and his family, some of his kids. That's Janet. That's the son, Sarge. He's got he's doing a master's degree in logistics, and he has an incredible testimony. He actually goes and trades with the rebels. They want to sell their gold. He finds what they want to sell, and he finds someone who wants to buy. And in that, he goes and preaches the gospel to them. And he says to them, you must love people. You don't kill people. You must love them. And he ministers to them. He goes into these far-reached places, and he ministers to the rebels. And some of them turn to Christ. So he could be, his life can be gone like that. These guys are trigger happy, but he goes and does that. Incredible testimony. There we at their home, and just a view outside with the team that we went there to have a supper. And this was the bigger congregation, the 14 plus the worship team that came to join us. Wonderful, wonderful family. Then I've went into the worst traffic jam I've ever been in my life. They have narrow roads, not paved, and all the motorbikes and the cars, and it's restricted. You cannot have two cars cubby next to one another. It's just one way. And then they push this way, and you push this way. And we were gridlocked for 20 minutes. And by prayer, I don't know how we got out of that thing, that God eventually opened up that thing. The car got past us, and we could get out. I've never, the motorbikes couldn't even move. This is Africa at times. It was a view again over Lake Kivu. The hollyhocks grow in one of the gardens there. He has the pastors happy going to minister on the Sunday morning. We went to go and minister in the local churches. This is the planted churches that up here they've planted. It's called, his grouping is called Hope Marisa. They've planted over 100 churches into their region. So the villages and stuff are different to ours, but 100 churches is 100 churches. There we sit on the Sunday morning. Saj is his son. He has the worship. There we go again. Then they give a testimony time, and this guy came and shared his testimony. He's a digger. He was out in the bush digging with a team of guys. I don't know what he was, I think it was gold they were digging up, because the DRC is very rich in minerals. But the other guys on his team actually sacrificed him to the devil because they wanted more money and they wanted more things. But he picked up in the spirit that they had sacrificed him, and he started to pray. And the Lord led him to get out of that team and come back to Bukavu. And the result of his praying, one of them died and one of them went mad as they practiced witchcraft. So this is very real in that context. This lady, from Bukavu, there's a road that links Bukavu to Uvira in the south. It's about 120 kilometers. So they're traveling convoy along it, and there are many rebels on that road. And the day before, Mapia went and prayed for safety, that God will protect her on the road. And while they were on that road, this convoy got attacked by the rebels. They shot up the cars, they killed many people, they stole everything, they stripped them of everything. They even looked in their hair, they took all their clothes, they left them naked, how much they stole on the thing. And they wanted to kill her. And she said, "You're not gonna kill me, because I am God's chosen child. I have got a testimony on the earth, and God has still got work for me to do. You're not going to kill me." And they left her alone. And here she was testifying, singing to the Lord about his grace the week before that it actually happened up there. So we don't read this in our newspapers, what is actually happening. These people have a testimony of God's protection and God's grace over their lives. Lord, this is very real that it's taking place. We live in a world where evil is prevalent. And this man was just giving thanks to God and singing to God for giving him a job. He got a job, and he was thanking God. He'd been waiting for years to get a job. And this is innocent. The the guy that leads the meeting, just a passion for Jesus. And then this was a picture of the guys that had gone before, late Manny, had been into that region many times, and that was just a photo of them. This is the church alleyway which you get into. It's nothing fancy, and it's a little room on the side that you go into. That's Bukavu up and up. Oh, I've gone ahead of myself, sorry. And there's Mapia and his son, Saj. And then in the afternoon, we met in Magala's church, and we had like a city celebration, and everyone was rejoicing in the Lord, and God really brought him. And Mapia was talking about the love of God. We shared on the love of God, and he was telling how he loves his wife. And if I've ever seen a man that can love people, is Mapia. The church love him, and he loves them. And you know, when they're so enduring, they come and put their heads against him, and he plays with their cheeks. And you know, I haven't seen that in the world. You know, and here's this man in Africa in the darkness, and he's so strong when it comes to God. I think that's how Jesus would teach with us. He didn't mind that. We read in the scriptures that disciples came and put their heads against his chest. That's how close they were to him. And I'm sure he stroked their faces, and he told them how much he loved them, stroked their hair like you do with your children. That's how the Lord did with his disciples. Now, what difference do we have with our Lord? We're so performance orientated. What plant is that? I brought that as a test to you. That's what's grandpa's bagpipe, isn't it? Anyway, we'll think. This is down, I'll leave that to test you. This is down at the lake, Lake Kivu. We just went and had a cup of coffee with the pastors to say goodbye. And then we leave across the road. We get across the border earlier that morning. We catch a plane, small little plane, back to Kigali. And then we fly back on the Monday night, and we arrive back. Oh, yes, on the plane, yeah, this young man stands up, and he starts to preach the gospel. And he carried on for 20 minutes, and he preached on the plane to everyone. And he was telling him, he was giving them stick, which is wonderful. So we want to give thanks to God for not only sending me, but you sharing the inheritance of what we do there. And if there's any questions you want to ask me further about it, but my heart is really, if you do get opportunity, I know you've joined us in prayer, but if you do get opportunity to come and join us, please come. And this is part of our inheritance. You need to do a trip. You need to be out on a mission trip sometime in your life to be changed. It changes you forever, because it's not you going to be a blessing, but it's what God gives you in those contexts. So don't let finance be a restriction. Have a going heart and say, Lord, I want to go. And it might necessarily not be this, but it's into something like Deborah's going to the prisons, into our communities. It might be the Strathyde. Please be going. You know, God is emphasizing this, go and make disciples of all men and allow God to do that. Amen. Where's the mic?
Hilton, who came onto the Mark's team now, I just sent him a message because he had sent a huge big chocolate for me, which was so generous. So I thanked him, and he just said, absolute pleasure, Nikki. Thank you for releasing Mark to us. He's an absolute blessing. We are privileged to have him lead us in this apostolic work in the Great Lakes. So I just wanted to say thank
Amen.
You, Mark.
Amen. You. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we just want to give you thanks as we give and report back of your grace. The invisible, almighty God that works not only in our nation, but in the nations of the earth. And it's your church. And Lord, will you give us all a passion for the lost? Will you give us all a passion for your church as we lay down our lives, Lord, to serve you? We don't do this out of any motivation, but because we love you. And may that passion grow in this church, a passion to love you, a passion for people, a passion to reach others and to bring them to a knowledge of you and a salvation in you. So thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I pray for everyone today that your heart will be their heart, that, Lord, they'll catch the vision of the nations of the earth, not just for the one or two, but for all of us, Lord, whether it be in prayer, through whatever, that, Lord, that your hand of grace would be upon this now. In Jesus' name, amen. I've just got one request. While I was away there, I'd like to open up a WhatsApp group for those who want to pray for the nations. Not everyone, but if you'd like to do that, come and speak to me, and I will put you on a list, and I will raise nations to pray for and to churches to pray for throughout the nations of the earth. They need our prayers. And if you want to be part of that, come and talk to me, or we'll put a list out on the front here, and we'd love to include you in that, and we'll lead that to reach the nations through prayer. Amen. God bless you all.
Mark, I believe God's just shown me that he has healing for a pancreas condition.
Okay, is anyone like that here?
Got a problem with a pancreas.
If you have that, come to us afterwards here. We'd love to pray with you and trust God for that. And also just a reminder to those who are going to Israel, there's a meeting at the back at 11 o'clock. Come and join us for that. God bless you all, and serve the Lord and follow him and allow him to use you to bless others. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.